This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate.
I'm Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast, and we're down to the last week of the regular season right now on what has to be one of the stranger seasons that we've seen.
I mean, yeah, we were talking about it earlier today with some of the games getting moved up to Thursday because of the UEA game in town. Just half the season hasn't been played on Friday. And, you know, two hurricanes, sort of, that'll happen. You know, very rarely are we going to get landfalls, much less two of them kind of like that, and schools sort of didn't have a choice around that. I understand sort of the danger around it, but last weekend, moving games because it's going to rain.
Rain and be cold.
I thought Brian Collier, William Monroe, the AD over there, said it best, like, we're getting soft. and so, yeah, I don't we can't be moving games just because it's wet outside. You know, come the playoffs, teams aren't going to be able to do that. We got to, there needs to be some sort of, like, football season to the football season. It's Friday night. You play.
It should be cold.
Yeah, the weather's
not. It doesn't have to be wet, but like it should be. Like it should definitely be cold. And it was cold. Louisa Charlottesville Thursday night was cold. I agree. It's supposed to be played on Friday night. You know, and like some of this comes down to we saw a nice piece in the Richmond Times Dispatch about the money in high school athletics and how dependent everybody is on Friday night gates.
Yeah.
When you start moving games around, that's where like we're going to start to see some of the, you know, some issues that come up when it comes to money as well. Yeah. And so, yeah, you don't want to see teams move around and like we've had too much movement and a bunch of Saturday public school games, which we've rarely, if ever, had.
But, yeah, I understand it's cold and it's rainy, it's wet. We're miserable standing in it. I'm sure the fans are miserable too, but that's just part of the gig. Like you get those and you get some nice days in there as well. But I mean, you got to play in the elements. Like that's what the good teams do.
That's no question about it. So it's tough to see. I personally appreciated being dry on Thursday. That was enjoyable for me. I'm just going to weigh in on that front.
It's all about the proper
rain. It's nothing worse probably than trying to tweet from a game and like fishing your phone out of like an inch of water in your coat. Like, it's just the worst.
You just got to be prepared. It's all about the gear. You got to have the proper gear.
True Canadian speaking there for you know, resiliency against the elements. I have lived essentially my entire life in the South, so we'll just avoid that as much as possible. But let's jump into, you know, obviously, like we said, a weird year, but we're still getting some pretty good performances and a really nice performance for Monticello, and that's going to produce the C&G Road Grader of the Week for us because the Mustangs got off the schneid after a long slide there.
Yeah, I think we've got to give it to Trent Lloyd and that offensive line up front. You know, Trayshawn Minor and those guys, it's been a weird season for them, you know, because they started out on such sort of a high, winning that game against Monroe. They're feeling really good about it. You know, Malachi Fields, really a breakout performance there. And they just ran into some tough luck. I mean, they're just a very young team and teams that are bigger and more physical than them out there. And so you just wind up having a tough year. And so it really feels like sort of a second season for them because they'd lost so many in a row there and they come out with a nice win over Orange. And it's almost like they get to an opportunity here with a Charlottesville team coming up, you know, to win on a winning streak. And, I mean, we've seen this before where you close out a season strong, what that sends you into the next season with. I mean, it could mean something for this Monticello team.
Certainly gives you a spark of hope. And, you know, they got a good performance, 117 yards and two touchdowns on the ground from Hargrove, Devontae Hargrove, guy that played, you know, just started off like a ball of fire at defensive end, really kind of got them going defensively, kept them in some of those games early, and then they got a chance to give him the ball a little bit later, 117 and two, another 50 on the ground from Malachi Fields. And, you know, overall, they were working with short fields most of the time. Four picks, I think, they finished with defensively. So a really strong defensive performance for Monticello. And not a team that we thought that they would beat in Orange County.
Yeah, I mean, Orange County, the way that they, even in their losses, have performed quite well. I mean, Orange is only a couple plays away from taking down Western just a few weeks ago. So, yeah, that's a team I thought, you know, Jalen Alexander would just have pretty great day against. And Monticello came up and did the job. And hey, you can find a way to get it done on defense like they did, but then also establish the run like they did with Hargrove and sort of keep you know, Orange's physical line and its you know, running game on the sidelines, then you know, you're really doing yourself a favor, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, so really solid performance by the Mustangs. Nice to see them kind of get a little bit on track there for sure. But then you flip over Offensive Player of the Week. To me, you read the stats, and when you see six catches for 117 yards and three TDs from a Goochland player, that's 117 through the air from a team that rarely throws the ball, or in the past has rarely thrown the ball. Maybe it's going to be a little different under Coach Alex Firth, but Perry Snead Johnson, six for 117 and three.
Yeah, two different quarterbacks in that game for them. So, you know, Devin McCray sort of runs the show over there, but C.J. Towell is a freshman that they're really excited about. You know, he's been playing on defense as a starter there in the secondary, but he's been doing sort of mop-up duties as quarterback.
How mechanical is this out there? Like, it's amazing. Like, it's like, oh, like, you know what we need is, like, a guy who's, like, such a good athlete that he can play on the back end of the defense and keep us out of all kinds of problems. Also has to be both smart enough and, like, athletic enough and slick enough and know the playbook enough to play some quarterback for us. These guys are just Jefferson. I mean, that was another one. Jordan Jefferson was this way. Devin McCray has, like, stepped into this spot. Like, Reed Schnault was an anomaly in a lot of ways. They just kind of stacked these kind of guys up that are just really bright, really sharp guys that just step on it and get rolling. So, yeah, now they just lock it up. They got another one. McCray's got a whole nother year. He's only a junior.
Yeah.
And now they got the other guy in line already.
So, I mean, yeah, that's sort of the rich getting richer. There's just lots
when you run a good program, that's the kind of thing that's going to happen.
You create your own luck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perry Steen Johnson was a huge game against Prince Edward. He had a 35-yard TD pass from McCray, and then the next touchdown for them to put them up 28-0 is a 28-yarder from Tolles to Snead Johnson. They've used him in a lot of different ways too. They can use him as a running back, they can use him as a receiver, but he's obviously a great deep threat. You know, a really quick guy, kind of a smaller guy that just flies up the field. And if you throw in a passing game into what Goochland does already, you're just like, man, what are we supposed to do?
Like, you got to be Appomattox, essentially.
You have to be that athletic and you know, that well coached and disciplined to beat Goochland. And right now in the regular season, there hasn't been any team in the last 2 years that's been able to do it. This could be they're one week away from making it three in a row, and that'll be a undefeated Amelia team. So that's a pretty cool. I mean, we'll talk about matchups later, but that's a pretty good game looming for them. But yeah, Snead Johnson, huge game through the air, and look for more of that in the playoffs. This is when you know you start dusting off the playbook and throwing little wrinkles into some weird games, into some tight ones. It's going to be interesting. You know, a run first team, you're going to find some weird trick plays out of them, or just you know a game where they decide to pick on a secondary and hey, we can really go for somebody's throat. So keep an eye on that.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting too that in the same week that Goochland was giving that a shot, Louisa County was trying some of that too. A heavy dose of Rob Allender early on at quarterback for the Lions, the guy who's going to really do the damage when it comes to throwing, and he got it started with a big one over the top to Noah Robinson. And we're putting Noah Robinson in as our defensive player of the week, but really he's the all-around guy this week. He fumble recovery that was really big, a series of fumble recoveries early for Charles, so that really cost him. But Louise's Noah Robinson, 169 total yards of offense they held Charlottesville to, and he had three catches for 95. They went over the top to him right away. I mean, he's a guy that has really changed how defenses have to play the Lions.
Yeah, and you know he obviously gives them a great presence in the secondary there. Just overall as a player, he's been a revelation for them. That's been, you know, who are the guys that are going to step up for Malik Bell and Joe Boylan, those kind of guys, and Robinson's been that guy. And it's been a huge addition, you know, both sides of the ball. Obviously, unbelievably athletic kid. Like I saw him against the Albemarle in the Albemarle game, and it's just absolutely amazing the concentration the kid has. He's really fun to watch. They got a pretty good one over there.
Yeah, I mean, just, it's been that way for Louise's week in and week out, they've had somebody kind of step up for them, making big plays. And no question in my mind that that's the best defense in the area. I mean, they're just really, really tough. And we knew coming in, you know, they had.
If you have the best defender,
you're in pretty good shape.
Together, and they have. They've gotten better around Brandon Smith. You know, as the season's progressed, and so now
Derek Barber, Reggie Cosby, guys that these weren't names that I personally knew,
and they've been
going into the year.
And they've been dealing with injuries along the way too.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's always a good sign from a football team where not only are you just getting the new players to step up and fill the role of that senior class, the huge void that they left, but some of those guys that have been hurt along the way, you've got the next man after the next man up coming in there. So yeah, Louisa's really got it rolling now, and we pretty good one with 1 week left there.
That's one thing, and that kind of nicely segues us into it. After last week with Fluvanna falling to Western, the JD's kind of locked in. We know that, no question, Louisa has secured the JD championship. Technically they could end up with a share, yeah. I guess. But in any event, Louisa's in the driver's seat. They kind of control their own destiny and have won at least a share of the district for the second straight year, third straight year. So the JD's kind of locked in, and it was not, in some ways, it was exactly what we thought it would be with Louisa on top in particular. But in other ways, it's just not at all how we saw this back in August. You know, certainly didn't see Charlottesville at 0-10 or 0-9. Sorry.
And we've talked about it in previous podcasts. I mean, I don't think Western was that amazing of a surprise. It was more of a surprise that they had those two down years.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Western and Fluvanna have done the job to bring, go from the bottom of the standings last year to fly back up to towards the top end of it. And that's really shaken things up. You got a couple teams, obviously Monticello wished they had a better season. Orange, things were looking all right for them. They'd sort of swallowed a couple tough pills early, and there's obviously the tragedy around the program there, and it's just been a really tough year for them.
Almar's got to really want to have that Powhatan game back in particular last week.
Yeah, and that's a huge one. Obviously, Powhatan's, they're rallying right now around, this is Jim Woodson's last year.
Yeah.
And so those kids are giving them an extra fight. And Jacob Taylor is pretty awesome at running back.
Sweet.
Yeah, and that kid is tough as nails. So that's a tough one. Powhatan, Almar left it out there, and Powhatan went and took it. It's as simple as that. And so, they are still in decent shape, but that's a 5-loss team now, with a really big rivalry game coming up. It's going to be absolutely huge for them.
They got to have that one, and we're going to dive into that one in a second. But with kind of how everything's finalized, the big one last week was Western, wasn't able to pull. Is not in position to win the district, maybe, but they are in a position to get right there, and they're in the clear now. It looks like even with an Almar loss, that they're in pretty good shape to be able to host a first round game, especially because Almar's they're playing a Class 5 team
and in a region that they should be okay.
Yeah, they got a chance to go head to head with one of their top competitors for that spot, and now they're sort of in that. You got Heritage and Brookville right ahead of them, but if they're able to kind of hold on to that spot, I don't know. It's just really big. It's good to see, and it's. It's fun to watch a team, like you said, to go from the bottom to the top and really kind of make that improvement and find a new identity along the way.
I mean, the big thing about both Western and Fluvanna that you really have to like is it's been through the yeoman.
Mm-hmm.
It's been the line play on both sides of the ball. They've the distribution offensively has been really even. It's been diverse in terms of how many different bodies have stepped up there, and so it's kind of cool to see it done the old-fashioned way. It's not just some amazing, one talent coming out and just putting together an incredible season. They've really done this in sort of a team first way, and that's always fun to be a part of, if you're on one of those teams, and then it's just cool to see it come together because there's just a greater sense of community out of seeing those kind of scenarios.
Yeah, so many seniors on that Western team that have been waiting around for a couple of years, and they get, are able to kind of, lock themselves in, probably be hosting a home playoff game in a couple of weeks. So,
yeah. And on the Fluvanna side, now you have a group that has set the standard for what Fluvanna football can be.
In this
for an entire generation.
Century?
Yeah. That is how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can get the kids, the class below, I know they've thought very, very highly of this group as they've gone through youth football and JV and everything together, they've done really well, and you know now they're sort of starting to peak here. But in terms of just keeping it going, the bar has been set, and now next year let's go out and meet it. Let's exceed it.
And then another team that is, this one's just flat out wild. I think if you had told me 2 or 3 weeks ago that William Monroe was in a position to win the Division III side of the Northwestern District, I would have thought you were a little bit off. But here we are.
Yeah, I mean
the Dragons are in it.
They were 2 in a row. Big for them. They have an opportunity to make it 3 with Culpepper, who is sort of out in front. That's the team to catch on the Division III side, or Class III, I guess they're calling it. But yeah, so if they get the win over Culpepper, which is their regular season finale, it's on the road at Culpepper. If they can pull out that win, it will be Monroe's first district title since 1990, which is crazy to think. Monroe won a state title in 1991, and John Roche was on that team, and he was explaining, in 91 they didn't win the district somehow. But then they rallied from that and went on to get the ring.
It's been a heck of a district.
Yeah, so if they get a share for that, I mean, you're talking about 28 years. That's historic on their part. I mean, that 2011 team making the playoffs for the first time, that was a really big deal for them, and now you've got an opportunity like this. Monroe has changed a lot philosophically. They really wanted to spread the ball out early on in the year, and then just sort of said, you know what, we got everybody back on our lineup front. Let's just go back and start pounding the ball again and just keeping it simple. Hopefully, you know, Alex Kinsey can make some plays, with his arm when he has to, but let's become what we know. Mm-hmm. And so they've done a nice job. I mean, defensively, they look good against Warren. You know, it's a tough game to play in. It's just so sloppy. Nobody has any footing. You're really just sliding around out there. But now they have a chance with Culpepper. We'll see if they can keep it rolling. It's all about the big boys up front for them. I mean, those guys sort of, they run the show over there. And then Alex Kinsey does a great job at quarterback. And he's a dual threat guy. And they've been able to get Dupree Rucker going a bit on the ground. Zach Miller and some of these other guys. So Monroe's a team to keep a watch on because in their region, I mean, it just worked out this way.
Absolutely nuts. Yeah. That region continues to be one of the wilder situations.
It is. It's befuddling. Yeah.
Yeah. So on the flip side of that, Monroe really improved their standing with that tough win. Albemarle, on the other hand, has put themselves really against a wall. They've got a lot of work to do this week, and they've got to do it in an emotionally charged atmosphere on the road. I think that we thought at one point that it would be certainly be conceivable, and it certainly was conceivable that Albemarle was going to run the table and finish it out, but now they've really got the pressure on them, and they've really got to kind of step up.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big-time rivalry game. But throughout that winning streak that they had, and even in this game that they lost, I mean, Albemarle's only playing in close games. They're doing it as dramatically as possible everywhere they go. So I expect nothing different in the regular season finale with them.
Mm-hmm.
Western really owned this rivalry for a long time.
A good stretch there.
Albemarle was able to sort of get off the hump a couple years ago, and now they really have something to play for. We just don't know where they stand right now. It's just hard to know.
This is going to be fun to watch.
But there's a lot of points on the line. So
yeah, no question about it. So this is just a really big one coming up on Thursday night. As we know, those games have been moved up because of UVA Pitt playing on Friday night. And I think that can change, but like we've seen this year, everybody's playing on every night. Staff's played more Monday night games, I think, than they played like Saturday games.
Buckingham's in that.
Buckingham, with their 17 games in like 6 days. Just some crazy stuff going on. And I think that Western Albemarle, obviously a huge one left. Fluvanna Louisa is another huge one. This is not a game, that Fluvanna would have thought they would have had a shot at it, or early in the season, but certainly they have the confidence now. This has always been a quirky one. We've seen Louisa's lost some to Fluvanna. 2013.
That was the last district game that Fluvanna won before they went on this streak. When they started with Monticello, but it went back to that Louisa game. And when I think of the rivalry between those two schools, I think it's sort of more baseball related, just because those programs are always sort of right up there, but these are neighbors. Mm-hmm. Zion Crossroads
border war.
Yeah, Zion Crossroads is right there.
They got to get along for economic development.
I don't think there's a Tasty Freeze there, so we don't have like an official name.
There's an Arby's, right?
the battle for the Lilo's Pizza.
That one needs a name. That's a fair point. Like, we got to come up with a name. Yeah, that's a battle for that fancy that's a battle for the Zion's Crossroads sheets right there. Yeah. You know?
It doesn't even have to be the business. I mean, I think Buckingham and Appomattox, they do the axe because they're really into forestry. So if they can just find a share.
Let's get a farm implement of some kind.
We're huge fans of, like, trophies like that.
Yes.
You know.
We're pro trophies, pro traveling trophies at all times. So somebody wants to come up with one, we'd love to hear a suggestion. We'll keep working on it. But that one's just a huge one. It's great to see Fluvanna. You know, they've got to feel like going in, they've got a shot. But they play a Louisa team that is going to be hungry to finish out.
And Louisa's got a lot to play for. You can't afford a single loss in that region.
No margin for error in region 4B, right?
I mean, 4D.
Is it 4D or 4B? Are those 4D that Charlotte was in? 4B?
It's one of the letters.
It's one of the letters. Let's go with the letters. Yeah, there's just no room for error in what goes on in that district because of Dinwiddie and Easterview. We saw last week Dinwiddie lost 7-0, and that's just huge.
Hopewell with the upset.
Yeah, Hopewell with the big upset. So I think that when you see those sort of situations, you know, that's got to wake Louisa up to know that, like, they can't really take anything for granted.
No.
They are not a team that has taken anything for granted.
I was going to say, right now they have first-year coach that is not into that kind of...
Will Patrick coaches with a chip on his shoulder.
Yes.
He's going to do that, and his team has picked up some of that, because there's a lot of guys on that team, you know, that other, you know, players that maybe people haven't believed in all the time. You know, they're not guys who were known quantities. And there's guys like Jarrett Hunter who just perpetually also play with a chip on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. And just he plays tough and hard, and he's going to give you everything he's got every single night. You throw in guys, you know, Aaron Aponte, you know, you throw in guys, Alex Washington. Like, you're talking about a lot of guys that are eager to make their own mark. Yeah. And you can tell in how they're playing, and you can tell in how they took care of business against Charlotte, so they weren't there to play around.
No. I don't think we'll ever sort of have to worry about that with Louisa, like them taking for granted any opponent.
They take every night pretty darn seriously.
They're just really into this thing.
Yeah. They're fired up about football. That's really a hot take that we've got there, is that Louisa County really into football. That's very accurate. So the other one that finishes this one up, two other big games this week, Goochland Amelia and Woodbury Fuma. And Woodbury Fuma is always a lot of fun, and it's won before Woodbury plays their huge rivalry game with Episcopal. But this one has always been fun in the prep league.
So it'll be Mike Hooper's last game with Fork Union, because they're sort of sitting outside in the playoff standings. Big win for them last week against Bishop O'Connell. That's really nice.
Bishop O'Connell hammered Blue Ridge earlier this year. That's a really good win for Fork Union.
Yeah, and you know they did it behind a great defensive performance. They allowed the one touchdown, which really was just one big play for them. But yeah, they get a field goal and a safety and another touchdown. Will Stupolsky involved in all three plays?
Stupolsky,
yeah,
former Scrims Play cover guy, and unquestionably one of the most versatile guys in the whole area.
Certainly, like in contention for most snaps of the year. But so they're coming in, with a nice win there. Woodbury has looked really good. They've been dealing with this sort of running game situation where they're just throwing the ball everywhere. Mm-hmm. They have DeKees Carter, who is awesome. He's just an incredible wide receiver, really fun to watch. So that should be a fun game. That's a big one. Woodbury can wrap up a prep league title. They needed some luck last year to sort of do that. It was sort of a weird split with Collegiate falling short. I think it was to St. Chris at the end. This year they can just win it outright with a win over Fork Union and get back to it. I mean, there's a lot of prep league titles in Woodbury's trophy case for the last decade, basically.
Yeah.
So this would be another one for them. Looking forward to seeing that one. But, yeah, the Albemarle Western game, that's going to be sweet. The Goochland-Amelia game, two undefeated teams. And a Goochland team that's been on a huge winning streak, but last 3 or 4 weeks sort of in the softer part of their schedule, they were sort of front-loaded with the good teams up front. So they get to go back into sort of playoff mode for this one. And I'm sure they're excited about, you know, a team that can actually line up with them and have a shot. There's a lot on the line in that one. And, Goochland, much like Woodbury, how many James River districts titles do they have?
So many.
They just keep it there.
So many.
So, yeah, we're looking forward to that one.
Yeah, so actually a pretty busy week, kind of broken up over a few days, Thursday, Friday, and I believe they got Benedictine Blue Ridge on Saturday. So, you know, it's an interesting stretch here, and then it's playoff time. So yeah. We'll be back with you next week to preview the playoffs and kind of break things down, and we really appreciate you listening along.